I want to talk about the most beautiful thought this morning. I'm going to read a verse for you out of Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to listen. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Someone say amen. You know, when people don't understand your message, they'll receive your service. Amen. When people, little people, children, they can't understand the detailed theology involved in what I just read about God, second person of the Trinity, who struck a tent in human flesh. He humbled himself. And because he stepped down into the role of a servant, the Bible says he has been exalted high and above every name that can ever be named. There's a lot of names in this world, but there's one who is above them all. Due to his humility, due to his choice for you, he loved you so much, he became nothing. When we say nothing, we mean in the world's eyes. You know, great people in the world, they'll do some ceremonial, you know, shoveling of an event. You know, they'll shovel a little bit of dirt, or they'll take some scissors and cut a piece of tape, you know, to start a race. You know, that's supposed to be great humility. The king, oh my goodness, they gave him scissors and he cut the ribbon to start the race. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, assumed abject humility and didn't need to be pointed at and didn't need attention and didn't need to be on the front of the magazine and didn't need to sell a tape of the month and didn't need to get the attention of men. Loved one, in the kingdom of heaven, your greatness is determined in terms of you serving the least in your midst. It's counterintuitive. Last week we talked about learning to walk backward. It's counterintuitive to walk backward as Shem and Japheth did and cover the nakedness of a brother or sister. It's hard walking backward. I tried running backward up the steps and running backward down. Don't try it. We're going to find out today that we are called to be servants. Now, again, as I read this text in John 13, 1 through 5, just keep in your mind, this isn't a simple ceremony of foot washing. This is God Almighty, the King of the universe, showing us the heart of heaven. He's just about to die, and it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He's about to go to the cross and the disciples still have no idea what's going on. I don't know about you, but it comforts me to know that the disciples had no idea what Jesus was talking about at any time. He says, I'm going to die, then I'll rise again. And they go, what? Huh? What? When he is ascending to heaven in Acts chapter 1 on the Mount of Olives, he's leaving earth. They're still saying, now, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to David and we're going to get the power and I'll be the president and he'll be the vice president? Missed the whole boat while he's ascending. Now, that would have been depressing to me. That the ragtag bunch of fugitives I'd put in charge of the world with regard to the good news had the wrong idea up to the last moment. He said, go to Jerusalem, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, things will make sense. Isn't it comforting? You don't need to know everything right now. He knows everything right now. He shoos them back to Jerusalem and says, oh, please stop. See, they had an earthly idea of power. They thought that they were going to graduate to some class where fire's shooting out of their hands and they have prominence in Israel and some great political thing is going to happen. And Jesus said, no, you're going to be a covert agent on the secret team just like I was. You're going to learn to serve the least in your midst. Do you know, I can tell everything I want to know about you by how you treat someone that can't do anything for you. Just watch how people snap their fingers at waitresses. Just watch how people talk to folk or ignore completely someone who has no power to help you or bless you. Well, we are called to be powerful in God's eyes. That means we're to be servants. And it is an easy thing to do some heroic thing, but it's a daily obligation to humble ourselves to serve the needs of another above our own. Isn't it true? We want to be right. Well, I want some attention too. That's all right. You're a servant. I want to look at seven traits of a servant, because as we look at the picture of Jesus, he is rising up from the Passover dinner and he is taking his clothes off. He is reducing himself to appear as though he is the least in their midst. Did you know that you didn't see the servants anymore that were washing your feet and changing your shoes? They were just furniture. They were called talking tools. You didn't look at a slave. You didn't pay any attention to them. You carried on your conversations and they just did what they did. And Jesus says, hey, everybody, I want to get your attention. Let me completely stand up in order to bow down and show you how to serve God and how to serve one another. Can you imagine if we came to church one day and we said, how can I meet his needs rather than my own? How, Lord, give me a word from the Lord for her, so how can I lift her burden? If we committed ourselves to a war of service, I'm going to find out every need I can, and I'm going to write every check I can to meet that need. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? We're going to pledge undying war of service to one another. Well, look at the seven traits. First of all, death precedes service. Oh boy, isn't this a wonderful good point? It said, Jesus knew that his hour had come. Did you know you really can't serve someone with sympathy? It's got to be empathy. Sympathy is cheap. Empathy is expensive. Jesus knew his hour had come. Now, for him, it was going to be going to the cross. But you know, all of us come to points in our lives and hours in our lives where we go through crushing that we didn't plan on. Grapes get crushed that we wanted to keep intact, but God says, I'll bring the wine out of that crushing. Olives that want to stay intact get crushed and oil is produced. You know, if you want to be a servant for the Lord, I guarantee you, you're going to go through some personal crushing, just enough to make you empathetic. There's nothing like serving someone from a mutual place of brokenness, where they look into your eyes and they know you understand. Isn't it something? When people can't understand your sermon, they will receive your service. Notice that? You don't have to give gospel tracts to everybody. Why don't you give them 10 bucks? Why don't you, if they got a broken flat tire, why don't you buy them a tire for their car? You don't need to know everything about God, because people will receive anything from God if it's given with a pure, empathetic heart. Death precedes service. There's something about the hot breath of the God-man on the back of our neck. Sometimes God is hunting us down to bring death to certain traits in our lives. Did you know that we've got a lot of flesh in us, and flesh, the only good flesh is dead flesh. So God may be pursuing you in order to crucify a certain part of you in order to set you free. But we Christians are nicer than Jesus. We see God put someone on the cross and we go take the nails out and bring them down and nurse them back to health when God's trying to kill that area of pride and God's trying to starve that particular area of addiction. And all of a sudden, before we know it, we're up on a cross and we think, this is very uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I was nicer than Jesus. I thought ministry was finding anyone that was nailed to a cross and taking them down. And I caused more harm than good in people's lives for a while. Because God sometimes said, no, Craig, I'm crucifying that part of their life. Would you get out of the picture? Let it die, but die with some finesse and grace. We've all got some area in us that has to die. Amen? But here's the good news. Resurrection comes after death, and that crushing will yield empathy. Death precedes service. Now, go ahead and serve everybody in any condition you're at. But listen to this concept. I was raised most of my Christian life with the thought, someday, somewhere, somehow, I'm going to do this or that. Now, look at that within the frame of servanthood. Someday, I'm going to serve somebody. I am. Somewhere. Someone. God goes, wait a minute. Do the next right thing. Who's in front of you? What's in front of you right now? This person. Right here. Oh, serve them here now. What a great concept. See, Jesus taught the disciples, you don't need to speak in Rome at the Colosseum. You need to wash one another's feet. You need to look around your 6 square feet and say, Lord, who's here right now? Where am I right now? What do I have in my hand that I can give empathetically? That sort of puts it, service is always the right thing to do. You know, when you're nice to people and you're kind, you're gracious, over time, you earn a right to be heard. When I was a little boy, they gave us gospel tracts. Oh, they were horrible tracts. One said Turn or Burn. And they were printed on the most ghastly paper you've ever seen, and all the ink was on your fingers. And they told me to stand on Hollywood Boulevard and give one of these to everybody that came by, or they would die and go to hell and their blood would be on my hands. No pressure. You know what that did to my God picture? It was like, oh no, God's a weirdo. He's a weirdy. Oh no, he expects me. No, he didn't expect me to do that. And those were some really zealous brethren that really loved the Lord in their own way, but pretty much turned everyone off that they ever tried to preach the gospel to. Someone say amen. Come on now. That may have been the way you did it, but you know what? God calls us to be servants, and first death precede service. Difficulties make us into the servants that have empathy to offer. So Jesus knew that his time had come. That was his nearly approaching death. And we have a few things in our lives God's still trying to, you know, just get rid of. But he's got a wonderful way of doing it. Don't worry about it. He can take care of his own.
Well, I think God just needs to fast them in that area. I see it so blatantly. I wish the Lord.
God is in control of his children. He knows just what to do to bring us all in line. Someone say amen. No one died and left you Holy Ghost. You're not Junior Holy Spirit. Whenever you find yourself taken over, you think we're going to get you a little t-shirt that says, no one died and left me Holy Ghost. We ought to really sell those, Gretchen. You'd wear one. I know you'd wear one of those. John 13:1 says, death precedes service. But secondly, a servant must be loyal. Look at verse 1 again, loyalty. It says, having loved his own in the world. Jesus was loyal in his love and his shepherding of his own unto the end. Did you know that it is absolutely necessary for loyalty to be the center of your life of service? A servant had to be loyal. One of my children asked me, what's the foundation of a good relationship? I said, not love, trust. Trust. So you can love someone and not trust them as far as you can throw them.
I love you, baby.
But you can't trust them. Trust and loyal trust. is the foundation of any friendship, any relationship in the world. There's something about loyalty. Isn't that true? You just see them. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. They just, I don't know, whatever condition they're in, they're at their post of duty. They're always helping someone. They're always sowing into someone else's life. There's something about an empathetic, loyal servant that will bring God's heart to somebody else. You don't need to scream the name of Jesus at everybody. They'll get there. What about those that have never heard the gospel? What about you serving whoever's in front of you right now with a sweet, empathetic spirit and demonstrate your loyalty to the Lord by giving into their need? I'll tell you what, I've given an awful lot of stuff away, but I just do it without strings. You know what I'm saying? You give someone a tuna sandwich, you give them a tuna sandwich. You don't give them a tuna sandwich and then, you know, I don't want to quit to preach and go to meddling. But there used to be a place downtown, and they would make all the hungry folks sit through a really bad sermon before they ate. And this preacher would spit cotton, like we used to say. Hell, the guys are just hearing blah, 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 sandwich later. Don't make them sit through the sermon. Feed them if they're hungry. Put something in their butt. Serve them at the point of their need. They'll sort of kind of get the idea that Jesus Christ in his self-sacrificial love is somehow involved in that Big Mac. When someone doesn't have clothes, give them the good news. But you know, sometimes, you know, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. See, service speaks so loudly to people. Unconditional service. Empathetic, absolutely loyal. And Jesus is showing the disciples, hey guys, take a look at what I'm doing. I am God Almighty. I am the Savior of the world. And I am stripping myself down, giving the appearance of being less than what others would think I would be. Are you willing to look less than what you are? We haven't gotten there yet. Third point, a servant will be betrayed. John 13:2. Look at this. As soon as Jesus is right in the center of the will of the Father for his life, the devil's just put it in Judas's heart to betray him. Good news. Death precedes service. You're going to go through hard times to make you empathetic. Loyalty is absolutely essential. Love, everyone God has placed within your sphere. But look at this. Betrayal is absolutely essential to a servant.
What?
It's true. You're going to be betrayed. Christ had a Judas. David had a man named Ahithophel. You're going to have somebody, I promise you, that is going to betray you. I don't care if it's your nearest and dearest. I don't care if it's the next door neighbor. I don't care if it's whoever it is at the beauty school and someone you thought was your best friend. Betrayal goes along with serving the Lord. Hate to break it to you. Oh, my heart is broken. You know, David. King David's best friend, you can go look it up, is a guy named Ahithophel. I know you're saying, yes, Craig, of course, Ahithophel. Yes, sure. Well, did you know that David had one guy he shared all of his heart with? There was one guy that knew all of David's secrets. And listen to this. When David's son Absalom comes to take over the throne, Ahithophel, David's best friend, goes over and rebels against David and gives all of his clout to Absalom. David is leaving, he's fleeing Jerusalem because his favorite son is going to kill him. And his favorite son has David's best friend on his team. You don't want someone that knows all your secrets on your enemy's best friend list. He knew all David's secrets. He knew all David's sins. He knew everything about him, but he betrayed him when he was down. You want to know why? I'll just give you a little aside. Because Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. When David committed adultery and killed Uriah the Hittite, Grandpa, you know, some people get a bitterness against you and they'll sit on it for 15 years. They won't do a thing. But right when you think you're in the zone, their book comes out. Right. David was told, not only was he leaving Jerusalem as an older, in his 60s, running up the Mount of Olives barefoot, but a guy comes up to him and says, David, I know you're having a bad day. I know your favorite son is betraying you, and you, and as an old man, have to leave. But there's a little bit worse news. Your best friend Ahithophel has just betrayed you, and he's giving all your secrets to Absalom. David, David went, we're toast. We're done. And he actually walked up the hill, and he just said, Lord, frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel. You know, sometimes you're so weak, you can only say, oh God, frustrate his counsel. And God did. Ahithophel told all of David's rebellious enemies how to get him. They said, I know him so well, he's scared right now. If you go and get him tonight, you're going to catch him, and he's terrified. And God frustrated Ahithophel's counsel. And they listened to somebody else. Loved one, do you know what it feels like to be betrayed? Ouch. Not a little bit, but a big bit. That's a part of servanthood. That's a part of service. What does it do? Well, when you've been betrayed, and Ahithophel did betray David, and Ahithophel is the guy that Jesus quotes in the Psalms saying, he that ate bread with me has lifted his heel against me. That's a verse David said about Ahithophel. He said, if it would have been an enemy, I could have guarded myself, but we walked in sweet fellowship into the house of the Lord. There's something about betrayal that you'll never forget, but it's a part of service. Death preceded life with our Lord. Empathy is being developed in us. Loyalty was the greatest trait Christ had in giving his life away to others, but betrayal is inevitable. So when it happens, there's one dear sister in the Lord that says, there it is. Whenever you see the enemy move, you go, there it is. I was waiting all day for it. There it is. So you can say, okay, death precedes service. I'm going through some crushing, but I'm going to come out. I'm going to be more empathetic. I'm going to keep being loyal where I am because that pleases God. And when betrayal happens, whether it's a little one, medium-sized one, or a big one, we're going to embrace the fact that that's a part of life. And it's to make you better and not bitter. You're a servant. When you're a servant, you can let things go. You can just say, it's all right. I'm just a servant of the Lord, wherever he wants me. You know, when you're young in Christ, you have great ideals and ideas, and you're going to reach the world and change everything. You know what? The older you get, the more you become a servant right here, right now, with them, meeting the need they actually have with a sense of empathy, loyalty, and it doesn't even matter if they betray you. Let me tell you one more story about David. When David was running from Saul, there was a city called Keilah. And it was just a city that was harassed. And David took his men and delivered that whole city. I mean, he kicked their enemies' butts and he gave them food and drink and everything and felt real confident about having helped the Keilites. Well, the Lord spoke to him that night and said, David, I hate to say this, but they've already betrayed you to Saul. Run. David's thinking, the Keilites? I just fed their kids and I just won their city with a great military victory. God said, David, you're a servant. You just got betrayed. Just move on. And David was very depressed about that. But he had redeemed an entire city who turned right around with all the strength they drew from the food he gave them to betray him. It's just a part of the deal. Amen? So you can cry about it and we'll get the tissue out and we'll pray together. And it is a deep, deep wound. But I want you to see that Jesus is laying this all out to the disciples. This is spiritual warfare. We think spiritual warfare is saying, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I used to do that. You know, they eat popcorn and watch that show. Spiritual warfare. James said, submit yourself therefore unto God. Be a servant. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can yell at him all day long, in the name of Jesus. I've heard it all. They don't leave. Because, loved one, I know it's shocking, but spiritual warfare is obeying God. Walking as a servant. Saying, Lord, I'm going to keep going here, Lord. I don't know what to do about that. Even Michael the archangel, when talking of Satan, said, the Lord rebuke you. I'm not going to invite demons up to shine my shoes. Devil, come out and shine my shoes on the way to hell. You know, oh, I was bold in my 20s. I think I hit so many demonic beehives, they've been running after me ever since. You ever get to the point where you just want to just sort of not stir anybody up against you? Nothing. I'm all right. I'm just serving over here. But you know, there's something about serving people, the person right here, right now in your presence with empathy and with loyalty, and even in the midst of betrayal, that is a spiritual sword against the powers of darkness. If they could have killed you, you'd be dead by now. If Satan had the power he says he has, you would be lips and tennis shoes. But servants, you're still here. You're still alive because serving God and serving others puts a hedge of spiritual protection around you. I know you may not feel like there's a hedge around you, but there is a hedge. Keep doing the next right thing. Keep serving people, even when they don't hear your message. Remember that cartoon, Gary Larson cartoon? It was about cats. What cats hear, and it was Fifi, blah, 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 Fifi, blah, 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 blah. Well, most people that hear the gospel sometimes, they just need a sandwich right now. They don't need the blah, 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 blah. Now, be led by the Holy Ghost. But there are times when giving of yourself in an empathetic and loyal way, even in the midst of betrayal, shines a light into the darkness. Right here. Right now, who's in front of you? Fourth, and I'm going to pick up the pace. A servant must have a secure identity in God. John 13:3 says that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end, and the evening meal was in progress, and the devil already told Judas, and he knew the Father had put all things in his power, and look at that, he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he came from the Father, and he knew that he was going to the Father. He had a fixed sense of identity. Did you know serving him out of a fixed sense of identity is a beautiful thing? Jesus knew who he was, and he knew what he was doing. Do you know when we don't have that firm identity that we are the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests? If you don't believe that, if you think you are what you have, or you are what you do, or you are what other people say about you, then you will always have an insecurity underlying all your service. You know, I guess I'll give a sandwich to him, but I don't really know, and I'm not sure, and where does God? Christ had a fixed identity as the beloved of the Father. He said, I know where I've come from, I know where I'm going, and we know now, at least after this message, we come from the Father. Born again through the blood of the servant of God, the Son of God. And we are on earth right here to touch the next person in front of us, the next situation that's within our 6 square feet, with his mercy and his love and his kindness. Preach the gospel all the time. Use words when necessary. Do you know, there's something about earning the right to be heard. I really believe that. You know, did you know we were all taught the witnessing model? Tell everybody you ever see the name of Jesus. You know, my God saves, or stick something on your bumper sticker. Did you know in the New Testament times that they didn't do that? They lived where they lived in a city as long as they lived. And if you were a cobbler, you cobbled in Colossae or Philippi or Ephesus. I mean, you made shoes until you died and passed the shoe business on to your son. Now, they would live in a town as salt and light and work in the midst of a given community and let their light shine. They didn't grab everybody and get everybody into arguments. Now, they did proclaim the gospel. Yes, that's true. But did you know 1 Peter 3:15 says, give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that lies within you, and do it with meekness and reverence. How many people have come up to you lately and asked you about Christ? Because they're so in love with your life, and they so see the bent of servanthood in you that they just got to have what you have. Well, maybe one in 30 years. See, that's my point. You can love people over a lifetime, and God may put you in that neighborhood for a reason, but it doesn't always mean you have to say Jesus, 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 Jesus all the time. They don't even hear it anymore. It becomes blah, 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 blah. Do you remember the commandment that says, take not the name of the Lord thy God in vain? That has nothing to do with saying Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ or swear word. I'm not recommending that you put his name in as a swear word, but it has nothing to do with that. It had to do with taking God's name lightly. You go to the Christian bookstores, all the Jesus chocolate bars. Jesus, Jesus, praise Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Christ Jesus, praise your Lord, praise your Lord, praise your Lord, praise your Lord. It just becomes, after a while, just shh. It's taking the name lightly. Live your life. Share what you have with others and give all the glory to God and pray that you become a window to eternity where they start going, you've got something tasty. What is it about you? You won't argue with me? Even when I ask where Cain got his wife, you won't get mad at me? Well, where'd Cain get his wife? E-harmony, what does that have to do with anything? You know when people try to get at you? Just love them. Just love them. Just keep serving them. Don't withdraw your service because they don't want to hear your message. I made that point. I'm going to move on. But a servant must have a secure identity in God. What I've been seeing God build inside my heart, and I'm 54 now, and I'm just getting comfortable in my own skin at 54. I'm just getting comfortable. I'm walking slower. I'm paying more attention to people around me, to situations that are in my reach and not something somewhere, somehow, some way over the valley. Servants have to live here now. They can't come to life. It's like someone that says, when I make $100,000, I'm going to tithe to the church and build a golden statue of Pastor Craig. No, if you won't give now when you have a dollar or a dime when you have a dime, you won't give when you have $100,000. It's wishful thinking. If you don't serve here now, those nasty folk around you, it isn't an ideal opportunity for service that will float down from heaven. It doesn't. Notice how Christ was secure. He was God Almighty in human flesh. Absolutely. And he's stripping himself, and the more clothing he's taking off, the more he's looking like the least servant in the house. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Death precedes service. Let that empathy flow through you. Servants must be loyal. You're going to be betrayed. Just let God work it for good. A servant has to have a right identity. Remember, you are the beloved of the Lord. You're not what you have. You're not what other people say you are. You're not what you can do. You are just a living light. More people see you, by the way. I've noticed I've never seen houses with a front light, porch light on chasing moths. Ever seen a house? No, the moths come to the light. They come to your house. The house doesn't chase the moths. You know, we're treating non-believers as though they're prey.
Now, approach them very slowly. Bow down. If they sniff the air and sense you.
My God. How about just being an upstanding guy? How about just being the lady that somebody can trust? How about being just the one person going to tell the truth? Amen. Be loyal. Be consistent. Show up. They'll see your service and they will receive your service even if they don't understand your message. And then one day, I promise, if you be patient, they're going to say, what is this Jesus thing? The Jesus thing. And then even then, they give an inch. Don't take a mile. Just answer the question they have. You know, my secretary, bless her heart, Betty O'Neill, she's in heaven now, a dear saint of God. I called it the Betty O'Neill School of Evangelism. Betty's friends, I think she passed at 86. She said, Craig, all my friends at 86, they didn't become bitter. They were bitter at 25. They just didn't have the youth to hide it anymore. Your youth can hide a lot. The more it fades, the more what you've always been comes up. Anyhow, that's another sermon. I'm closing. I'm even closing right now in the minute. But Betty used to, her friends used to say, well, what about this church thing? You work for a pastor, Jim? Mm-hmm. I do. She wouldn't say anything else. Tommy's here. Remember with Madeline and everybody, they'd ask her about church. She'd just go, oh, you probably wouldn't want to know. Never mind. Yeah, anyway. Well, no. What's the thing about God? She goes, you know, I really don't want to talk about that. I mean, it was almost manipulative. I told her, that's demonic. She goes, no, I just won't get into it, and I won't get it. About the 50th time somebody asked, she dropped just the choice morsel for that day at that time that they could absorb. Isn't that a great way? Live your life, earn the right to be heard, and somebody asks you, but even when they ask you, be led by the Holy Spirit, the little tidbits you put in their mouth. Oh, that was better than I thought. All right, now we put the jet pack on. We're going to close. The fifth servant trait. A servant must be willing to be inconvenienced. Look at John 13:4. It says, when dinner was over, he got up. You know, this was right the time in the meal where everybody's sufficiently saffonsified and they all want to lay back and prophesy. And he got up. You know, sometimes being a servant is inconvenient. Just when he should be relaxing as the head of the feast and someone should be serving him, he gets up and he was inconvenienced. Sometimes the phone rings when it rings. Pick it up. Yeah, well, it's an inconvenience right now. You know what? Sometimes I'll go see a movie. I thought I was going to do that every week and be this big elaborate plan, but I did see a movie at that beautiful cinema across the street. What's it called? Sinopolis. You ever been in there? No. Oh, my Lord. Leather seats. Your legs go up. You push a button and people come and serve you. I mean, before you know it, I'd ordered three deaths. You know, I thought I was an emperor. No, I'm teasing. Give some of you power. We'll see what's in you. Not hard times, power. But, you know, I was just so comfortable. I went to the theater and I just put the leggings up just right and laid back. And I thought, praise God, I'm all by myself, and this is so nice. And then a big guy came and sat right next to me, who had not bathed in probably 3 or 4 days. And now that movie became an inconvenience for me. You know, sometimes you just want to rest, and God sends a big smelly man that you have to be nice to. How are you doing? Fine, fine. How are you? God bless you. Oh, my God. Sometimes you're inconvenienced. But you know what? Jesus was willing to be put out. When everybody else was, he said, I'll get up. I'll get up. And he begins to take his towel. He has now stripped himself down to the identity of a slave. The sixth point, a servant must walk in absolute humility. John 13:4 says, he finally had taken all of his clothes off and reduced himself to the role of the most worthless person in the house after the world's eyes. This would be the servant you wouldn't look at, you wouldn't see. And again, my question, are you willing to look less than what you are? Jesus was willing to look less than what he was. God of very God, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and declare that he is Lord, but not during his incarnation on earth. That was later. He humbled himself first, then he was exalted. Servants, it's all right if someone else's name gets the, it's all right if somebody else gets the credit. It's all right if somebody gets to put ahead of you. You know, Jesus said, if you put yourself in the last seat in humility, God will bring you up to the front seat in promotion. If you put yourself in the front seat through pride, he'll put you in the back seat. Most of you have heard this story, but I have the mic and there's nothing you can do about it. I was with a guy named Pastor Ralph Wilkerson, God bless him. And he knew the guy with the miracle ministry, so he took me with him and let me sit on the platform. Oh, this is one of the first times I ever got exalted to the preacher's platform. And it was a healing service, and there were about 10,000 people in this place. Well, at the very beginning, because I wanted to sit on that platform. I'd never been on a platform like that before. And it had about 3 or 4 Diet Cokes before I did get up there. I had to leave once. But the whole universe is staring at you on this platform. And we saw one guy come up at the very beginning of the service and sit in the front row. Now, we knew that's reserved seating. So everybody watched that guy who had exalted himself and put himself in the front row. I knew he wasn't going to stay there. I knew it. Everybody on the platform said, look at that guy in the special seating. You know, he just sort of wandered in and thought, well, there's nobody here. And he sat down. Well, the place is packed now. There's 10,000 people, and 4 ushers with earpieces come up to that guy. And he gets up and is taken in the back. And everybody started cheering. It was a, we're all nudging each other going, look at that guy. Oh boy, he got his. You know what? It's okay to sit in the back and let God put you in the front. It's okay. You don't need to promote yourself. Just promote him, and God will have people come and get you. Now, that story was all for free, and I know it was just lovely for you to hear that. Well, be willing to look less than what you are in any given situation. It's all right. God will make it up to you. The Apostle Paul, in closing, was a little bald-headed Jewish man. Had probably a speech impediment of some sort. He couldn't really speak in an eloquent way. He was a good writer. But God somehow commended this little man by showing up and working the signs of an apostle through his hands when he went somewhere. Signs and wonders happen when that little nobody in the world's eyes walked in. Oh, they beat him. They threw him in prison. But he says, truly, I did not come to you only with the words of wisdom and men's intelligence, but with the power of God. God will commend your service to others with signs and wonders. The things you would beg him to use you to do, he'll do in the midst of your weakness as you're serving the least in your midst. Finally, a servant must serve. Isn't that profound? You got to do it. Good sermon, Pastor. It's going a little long with the worship. It's all right. But you know what? You got to do it. Next time it's just you and someone else in your space. Who am I to serve, Lord? Whoever is the least in your midst. I don't see anyone to serve. Well, go out and walk around a little bit. Boy, it's funny what you learn when you walk around your neighborhood. My next door neighbor's name is John. I call him the pastor of our block. There's 170 homes on this one block. John knows everybody. He knows everybody. I said, John, you're a pastor. You don't even know it. You're a shepherd. He goes, oh, I'm not. He knows everything. Goes up to, how are you? How's your son? How's your daughter? This guy shepherds our entire block. And then when I walk out, he goes, how are you, son? I don't even know. He's just a few years older than me, but he calls me like I'm little. How you doing, boy? I said, John, you don't know it, but you're serving everybody all the time. You don't know it, but everybody loves you and respects you. And if you don't believe that, just go in the backyard and start cussing on the telephone. Everyone will hear it. They all see it because they're watching you. And I said to John, I said, John, God uses you more by accident than he uses me on purpose. I mean, you're just always meeting needs. And it isn't always giving someone money. You may not have money, but John gives an affectionate moment of time. He listens to problems and he serves everyone from the gardener to the guy that's losing his home across the street. And I just thought, what a spirit of service. I want to be like him. Jesus said, here's the way. This is greatness in the Father's eyes, that you be the servant of all. So wherever God has placed you, serve him. Wait for the opportunity. And in fact, maybe the equation could be serve three times as much before you start talking. Cut your talking in half. You're killing people. Love them. Serve them. Listen to them. Be loyal. Be empathetic. Be like Jesus. Be willing to look like nobody. And I promise you, God will reward that humility with an exalting hand. Thank you, Father. Right now, Father, we humble ourselves before you. We've heard it all of our lives, but we humble ourselves before you, Jesus. We want to be great in heaven because we've had the privilege to share your love with somebody else. Lord, we pray right now that in the midst of our we may be in humble circumstances. Our life may look like a mess right now. It may not look like we're somebody. But we thank you in the midst of everything. We are the beloved of the Lord upon whom his favor rests. We thank you, Lord, that in the midst of everything, we can matter too. Maybe we're supposed to just touch that one life at Starbucks. Maybe we're just supposed to live our life righteously on our block and not say anything, but help somebody every day. Mow somebody else's lawn. Take their newspaper in off the street. Sweep their driveway. Lord Jesus, there's something every one of us can do today to just be kind and gracious to another. Doesn't need to be big things. It can be just little acts of love and service. So we pray now an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. I speak over all of these servants, blessing. joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let every one of these servants here be luminescent, radiant with the power of God and the grace of God and the humor of heaven and the laughter, Lord, and the joy and the delight that would cause others to say, what is it that they have? Who do they know? We know the risen King. We are called by His name. Lord, forgive us and cleanse us when we've been foolish examples to others. Forgive us when we've talked too much or out of place or tried to quote Bible verses we don't even know. Lord, forgive us for trying to be great. We just want to be great as servants. Help us cut our words to a minimum and exalt the service to the maximum. Thank you, Jesus. And now I pray a blessing on your servants who you consider is highly honored. And I speak over your lives and I say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Well done. Quit looking at what's undone. God says, I'm looking at what it was well done. Thank you for helping that other person out. Thank you for financially blessing that woman over there. Thank you for praying for those that come to your mind. Thank you for being loyal. No matter what. Lord, use us wherever we are. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Give us your eyes to see what you see, Jesus, when you look at people. We want your heart. Whatever breaks your heart, we want to know what breaks your heart. Whatever brings joy to your heart, we want to know what brings joy to your heart. And we will be secret agents on a covert team, just serving you undercover, wherever we are. Bless your holy name. Someone say amen to him. Amen. Give him some praise. Bless him.
What a mighty God. What a mighty God. And he loves...